What's going on, y'all? I'm Brad.
I'm Jeremy.
And we've been talking about things concerning reconciliation for a long time now.
20 years now. I'm white.
I'm black. And we thought if we talked together about it in podcast form, it might serve some people. So let's talk about it.
We are power pressed into passion. We the people shall not pass up this moment to push oppression into graves, set it on fire, then push past it from its ashes. Make art from debris.
I think there's something about how a captain is chosen that is relatable in how we're thinking about teammates.
Yes.
Because I think about some of the best captains are not necessarily the best player. Right, not necessarily the person who's the upfront leader. It's someone who makes the whole team better.
Yes.
And they do that by, you know, they have a relationship with everyone. They call out the best. They can help people improve on the worst. They serve. They come under this, the person that's like serving and propping mm-hmm. everybody up. And some that time that's like because they can help you build out your skills more. Sometimes it's like, no, they just relationally, they help you with that emotional uplift that you need all the time. Mm-hmm. I remember maybe the anti-story to this is when I was in high school basketball. God forbid any of my old high school teammates listen to this. It'll be a miracle if this somehow gets to them. But I remember we had gotten shooting shirts. So these are just shirts you wear over your jersey that you wear during warmups. And the whole team was just like, hey, let's everybody raise a little money. We're gonna go to the mall, get our names put on the back. That was just something unique and that we thought would be cool. So we all, you know, the whole team goes to the mall together and we're getting our names just kind of like printed on the back of our jerseys. And I see two guys who were probably two of the most talented players on the team, but they're whispering to each other. And I'm like, okay, almost like they're planning something. And so everybody gets their shirts done. We all go back. Everybody's ready to we get into the locker room that night. And we're getting ready for our game. Everybody puts on their shooting shirts. And the two guys, what they had done, they had told the person to put a C on the front of their shirt, which is common for like when a captain is chosen, they put a C. Yeah. Nobody had voted them as captains. They just decided, mm-hmm. let's do this, as if it was...
theirs to take.
Yeah. And the thing is, I think if we had done a team vote for captain, they probably wouldn't have been voted captains. Or they could have, but it would have been better to have the whole team say, this is what we think, this is what we believe. And and I think there is a danger for some people who have just put a C on their shirt, but they ain't really the captain, or it's blinding them from mm-hmm. seeing the whole team and including the whole team.
They're still thinking about themselves.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the strange attractiveness pull of modern societal standards of leadership to say, there's the one person who everybody follows and mm-hmm. they're the captain. Where I think in missional communities, that's more of a spiritual choice, a communal choice, even if you begin position. So there's some spiritual communities where that's just part of their denominational makeup. They have mm-hmm. a pastor who's assigned to them or something like that. I think even then, even when you have the positional role that's been given to you, there needs to be understanding of what is my spiritual role. This is, I could talk about in a family dynamic, there is the positional role of me as a husband, but then like, what is my spiritual role in this? If maybe I'm not the praying one, the one who discerns, and that's really important. Right. In a marriage. And so it's important to know I think it's important to know even in marriage, the role that's like yours positionally and spiritually, but also the given spiritual role from your family. Anyways.
Yeah. Yeah.
we could talk about that, but I'm gonna come back to maybe our scope, which is the missional community. And I think that's when I think about teaming and when I think about roles, I think that that matters. So if I had to look at the last example I give, if I had to look back when I was a staff, a young staff, a campus staff, and I was the BCM staff for our chapter, when we were doing ministry together, I had a role. I was the staff. I was hired and paid as the staff to oversee Black student ministry. I don't know if I would say I was the captain. Erica Cannon, who's a good friend, she had a lot of influence and just was better at galvanizing people and just had the relationships. And if I look at that ministry, I think, okay, if I had to pull somebody out, who would it be? I think if I had to choose between her and me, right, if I had to do that, I would choose me. I'm like, I would step back because of her presence and the value that she brought, even though I had the position authority, even though I had position authority and I did a number of things that were good for the ministry. There was something about her influence that was significant, that if you asked me who's the captain, I'd be like, she is. I know I'm like positionally at the head, she's the captain. And any decisions I made, we had to be in agreement. And of course, as the person who had the positional authority, I didn't have to ask anybody. I could just kind of do some things, but it was to the benefit of the whole community to understand the dynamics there and to respond to them. So when it comes to roles, I think, yes, there is definitely positions that people have, and often positions that people want to have. And I'm not even talking about like positions of authority. I'm talking, there's some people who just want to be in a serving type position. That's their bread and butter. And it's important to put them in those, like to encourage, to affirm, and to make sure the values of those positions are recognized.
Upheld.
And I say make sure, because I think based on your position, there's just some intentionality you have to have. So that's maybe the thing I want to press into the most, or maybe emphasize the most, is that if you're in that captain position, it's really important to know who's around you and the importance of the roles around you, and to serve those both in deed and in philosophy, and how you communicate to make sure you're pressing into that. And that takes a certain amount of awareness. So while I can say everybody needs to have a decent amount of self-awareness, I think self-awareness for leaders who find themselves in a captain type role is very important. Because if you don't recognize, like I said, we're in a society of...
If you start winging it, you default to whatever your cultural baggage is.
Yeah, and you won't recognize, I think recognizing that, I don't have a word for this, but the fame mentality when groups form, especially in churches, right? So the whoever the captain gets put as, like, there's something about notoriety. That's just going to be part of it. And you actually have to, I don't think you have to control 100% how people are responding to you, but understanding that folk will respond to you in a certain way, and the credit for the work will naturally be given to the captain.
Yeah,
it's up to the captain to say it's up to the captain to actually push that credit down.
Team is amazing. This team is awesome.
Say and be specific. I've watched pro sports interviews, and some of the worst interviews is the person who's unaware that they are excluding and devaluing their team. It's like, So when there's a win, they're saying, you know, I really had everything clicking today. I did this right, and it helped us win. But it's like, man, you are digging yourself a grave. You're just saying what you did and how you did it. And God forbid you're in like the quarterback position where it's like, you got a lot of influence and people gonna look at you a certain way. If a center says that, nobody's gonna be like, what's wrong with it? They might say it, but it doesn't have as much weight as when the quarterback says it. But when that quarterback gets on and says, you know what, my line held up. They gave me time. I gotta give them all credit. Receivers were in the right places. You know, I can't do what I do unless, I have the team behind me and my team was behind me. And I got, you know, giving credit to that. That's and that's understanding. Like, they don't have to do that. I just think giving credit in that way is helpful and maybe the best way forward.
So you can see how this metaphor of this like stage of reconciliation really kind of as we're talking about it, I go, man, it's packed full of all kinds of things. Like, you're doing something together, but you're constantly learning. You have to practice humility. You have to practice listening. You have to practice like giving to one another, working together, like all that stuff. This is all the stuff that when people talk about racial justice or racial equality, or it's like, I would hope that this is actually what's in their heart. But of course, the process in which they go about that oftentimes is not kingdom centric. It's not Jesus centered. And usually like imitates Rome again in a different version. But this idea of like mutual submission essentially is what we're talking about. But we're not negating the fact that there's roles of authority. Like, authority exists in the world. Authority exists between humans. So we're not saying all authority is bad, but we're saying it has to come into the context of mutual submission. One of the best metaphors I could have for that is teammates, you know? And so to you know, not just talk about this as far as like leadership development, but it's like, no. We're talking about reconciliation, every ethnicity, culture, coming underneath the rule and reign of Jesus. But that's going to lead us to the place of teammates. And that space it's a multifaceted space. It's, again, you're working together. You're headed in the same direction, but you're also listening and submitting to one another and holding each other up. And all of that is coming together now. So it really is more complicated. Just like a team, a well-functioning team is a complicated social unit, right? And so that's, I just think, man, the more that we talk about it, that this really is a good metaphor for us.
Yeah. And I think initially when we first started talking, I was like, does this, you know, do we need to maybe somehow include friendships in that? But I think, no, in a teammate environment, you know, friendship is expected. And then there's places where friendship has to be, you have to intentionally make friends, right? So, and not everybody on the team is, you know, have similar friendships with each other, but they're still on the team, still be committed to the same
thing. And you're bonded to each other.
And there's still that bond.
Yep.
That's good.
Yep.
All right, man. You know, at the beginning I said that I think the next phase was my favorite stage, but maybe this one is a good stage. I like it.
Yeah, man.
Teammates is all right.
We need more reconciled teams. That's what I'm saying. I think this is very accessible, but we got to get our heads on straight. You know, we got to get in these teams with each other. You know, this is going to be like huge, but I think a lot of people, they could get there. They could get to this. You know, and like any good team, there's going to be some fights in the team. You're going to have to work some stuff out. It's okay.
We'll have to work it out. Gonna have to work it out, bro. And that's just true about, I think anybody who's been on the team knows this. You don't start off great. Just because you have the values and the philosophy doesn't mean that you're good. It takes some time. You're just it's not always good.
right. You're gonna have the crap game. You're gonna have the crap practice. There's gonna be these moments where you're just like, you're setting out to do something and it's too relational, or it's too task oriented, or it's whatever. It's too much of something. Mm-hmm. And it's going to annoy you. And then you're going to have broken people in the mix who are just going to get in their feelings. And they're just gonna, like, they stub their toe and they came into the meeting. And it's like, it has nothing to do with you. They just stubbed their toe. Or they're going through a life crisis, like their mom said.
Yeah, you know.
They just got cussed out by their cousin or whatever, you know, and they come
This is the thing. I just think about the meetings I've been in. I mean, and it's interesting. I'll be talking with a friend, and they're talking about how they just got verbally attacked. In a way that it was racially based.
Okay.
And then, we're wrapping up that conversation, then walking into a elders meeting or something, like a church leadership meeting, where there's a mix of people, right? It's like that that's going to weigh on them in that meeting. And so it's going to look a certain way. So when you say that, people are coming to places, it's just not going to always look that great. But teammates, they come in, they bring that, and folk can both hold it with them and not be threatened. The team is a team. You're there for the team. Yeah. So the team is not threatened. And the person that's holding things understand that they can bring that in and still be on the team. That's what I love about the teammate metaphor also, is that, it can include messiness. But it has this commitment, this underlying commitment that you're there and that you're there because of love and because you really believe in this, whatever you're going towards. And you're willing to not only suffer in the workout as you practice and go, but you're actually willing to suffer with each other and each other's story and whatever comes up in each other's life.
Yeah.
All right.
Good stuff, man.
Yeah, man. Yeah, so teammates, that stage is good. Well, we got to talk about family now. So you put that in there. Yeah. We talked about strangers to acquaintance to teammates, and now it's time to talk about family.
Well, that concludes our talk about teammates. Y'all heard it. Up next is family. Look for that update to be posted very soon. All right. Go ahead and subscribe if you haven't. We'd love to hear from you. Love to know how you're engaging the content. Until next time, y'all, keep making art from the brain.